Good morning. How do you do? It's good to get these young kids up here, isn't it? Get them used to doing that, but love to see them get up here. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. This morning I want to talk to you about one of the most neglected ministries in local church today. No, it's not regular attendance, even though we could do better at that. And no, it's not being faithful to prayer and the reading of God's Word, even though we could do better than that. And it's not even converting people to Christ. And yes, we could definitely do better than that. One of the most neglected ministries in the local church today is the failure to make disciples. Amen. If you remember about a month ago, June 7th to be exact, we were meeting outside where it was cool, right? Well, where Tim actually got his head sunburned a little bit. You guys will never forget meeting outside, will you? Never. And I guarantee you'll never forget this coronavirus. I'll be glad when it's gone, won't you? But anyway, I ask you the question on June 7th, if you could have one subject preached on, what would it be? Well, five people responded. I had to look back. I don't have that good a memory. One person said, I'd like to hear more sermons on the family. Pretty good, right? Another person said, I'd like to hear a sermon, maybe a series of sermons on the book of Revelation. That'd be good. Another one said, salvation. I think Jim Luthy said that. And another one said, I'd like to hear more sermons on grace. And I agree with that. But the last one really caught my attention. We need to hear more sermons on discipleship. So this morning, whoever said discipleship, you don't have to raise your hand. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about being disciples, true disciples of Christ. So if you have your Bible open on Matthew 28, I want to focus on verses 18 through 20, and then we'll jump into the Gospel of Luke. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore do what? Therefore go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You might have missed this. I don't care how long you've been coming to church, but I want you to catch this. Because oftentimes in the Bible, order of importance is mentioned in the Bible. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and do what? Not get baptized. Not make converts. What's he say? Go and make disciples. So here's what I believe, and I think it's right. Hope you agree with it. I believe we need to disciple people before they get in the baptistry, and we need to disciple people after they get out of the baptistry. If you believe that, raise your hand. But what we often do in the local church is we will baptize people into Christ, and then we'll say, good luck. Do we do that? We do. And that's why I feel that the biggest negligence in the local church is discipling, true discipleship of new believers. Now, we know this verse. These verses are called the Great Commission of Christ. We know that. We've known that from a very early age. But we're not very good at following it. Now, if you're following along your bulletin, I want you to note this first of all. All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. How many of you believe that? You better, because it's true. I believe that we are long on membership, but we are short on discipleship. We focus a lot on numbers. We all do. Matter of fact, you guys have a board there, and you had 79 people here last Sunday. That's pretty good. But I want you to know that there's more to church, and there's more to discipleship, and there's more to what we do here on Sunday morning besides 79 people. And if the church is going to be successful in the long haul, we have got to work on discipleship. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here this morning, and I know my toes hurt just as bad as yours do. Because there are times in my life that I have failed at discipleship. Would anybody else confess that this morning? We all have. Oftentimes when we hear the word disciples, we think of what? the 12. Well, let's subtract Judas. Can we do that? The 11. But you know who the disciples are? Believers. You and I. This is not just written to Jesus' 12 disciples. It's written to you and I. We, if we are believers, true believers of Jesus Christ, we are disciples of Him. Now, here is a good definition of a disciple. A disciple is not only a follower of Jesus Christ, but they are also someone who helps others to grow in faithfulness and fruitfulness. Those two things are important. That you help others grow in faithfulness and fruitfulness. You know, when you look through the pages of the Bible, discipleship was actually taking place even before Jesus came. True or false, did Moses not disciple Joshua? He did, didn't he? He did. Now, you can talk about women in the Bible. Naomi and Ruth, did they disciple? Did Naomi disciple Ruth? Of course she did. In the New Testament, Jesus discipled his 12 disciples. You keep on reading, Paul discipled who? Timothy. There was discipleship there. Well, here's the example for us in our 21st century world. You and I are supposed to be discipling somebody. So here's a little assignment for you in the middle of the sermon. You can write it down. Who am I going to disciple? Who am I going to take on as a mentee to disciple them into being more faithful and fruitful for Christ? You older gentlemen, think of some young guy that you can take underneath your wing. You older ladies, think of some young lady that you could take underneath your wing and you disciple that person into the person that they need to be. Write down Matthew 7, 16 through 20. It's not on your overhead. It says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Every good tree, every good Christian that is, bears good fruit. But a bad tree, a bad Christian, bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? Cut down and thrown into the fire. Jesus is talking about hell here. They're cast out. Thus, by their fruit, their produce, who they're working on, who they're working with, you will recognize them. Now, let me ask you this morning, whose life has been changed because of you? As I look down through the years of my life, my dad was a very faithful elder in the church. He helped my life. Have you ever heard of Phil Young? Phil Young was kind of like a mentor to me. Larry Snouts, good stuff. Not going to get into that. He was kind of like a mentor to me. My professors, and if you're on Facebook, you know that my closest professor died last week, and his funeral's Tuesday. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't believe it, but it happens. But you know what? He was my mentor. He helped me when I needed help. And not just in Bible college, he helped me in my life even today. Ching and I, we would call him and his wife, and they would mentor us even to this day. So I will miss him. But everyone in their life needs a mentor. They really do. Now let me ask you something else. Has that person that you've been discipling carried on the baton? Are they doing what you did? I mean, 20 years from now, who's going to be impacted because of something that I have done? Who's going to be impacted because of something you have done? Because here's the deal. If you and I are not here 20 years from now, somebody's got to carry on the role, right? They got to carry on the task. We need to be working with someone. Now, the next thing I want you to take note of in your bulletins is this. A successful disciple is not one who simply says, stays out of sin. A successful disciple is one who glorifies God by making an eternal difference in someone else's life. There are a lot of people who come to church because they don't want to go to heaven. How many of you come to church because you want to go to heaven? How many of you come to church because that's the only reason you come to church? Don't raise your hand. That's not the only reason we come here. Yes, we all want to go to heaven, but we want to make a difference in someone else's life. We want to make an impact on their life. Now, if you have your Bible still open, turn over to Luke chapter 14, because I want you to know something. Being a disciple is not easy. It really is not. And what Jesus has to say here in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 35, is kind of an eye-opener for us in the local church today. Now, what does it mean to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Before I answer that with this scripture, let me tell you what a disciple is not. It is not accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, being baptized, and joining the local church. That is not discipleship. Discipleship is also not coming to church every Sunday, partaking of the Lord's Supper, giving of your tithes and offering, listening to a sermon, and going home. And don't grade my sermons on the way home. I hate when you guys do that. What do you think it was, 7 or 8? No, it was only 6 today. Don't do that. But you know what? Being a disciple is more than that. It really is. So what is it? You have notes in your bulletin? Take note of these. Because I believe there are 3 things. You must love the Lord your God more than anything or anyone. Amen? Let's read this together. In verse 25 says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For he lays a foundation and is not able to finish it. Everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. He goes on to say in verse 34, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Is it fit neither for soil nor the manure pile? It is thrown out. Now look at verse 26. Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, such a person cannot be my disciples. Now, what does that mean? Good question, eh? What? That's exactly what it means. Now, does it mean that I have to hate my wife and my son and my daughters and my mom and my dad? Is that what it means? No, that is not what it means. As a matter of fact, what Jesus means here, unless you hate them, if you love Christ more than what you love your wife and your husband and your, you know what I'm talking about. So what it means is to love less. Love less. That's what it means in the Hebrew. Now, have you ever drove by a person's house that had OSB on their walls? You ever seen that? There's a guy in Summer, I don't know who it is. I drive by his house all the time. He has OSB on his walls, and he's had OSB on his walls for 20 years. What happened? He didn't plan ahead. I figure he must have ran out of money, and he doesn't have enough money to finish it. He didn't plan well. Well, that's kind of what Jesus is saying here. When you become a disciple, you need to plan ahead. You need to plan ahead and consider the cost. One of the hardest things to do is to give up everything and everyone to follow Christ. It's tough. One of the hardest things I ever did was to walk away from the farm. Tim knows because he loves the farm. I sold my equipment. I rented out my house. My trailer, it wasn't very nice. I paid $1,800 for it. I got my money out of it. But I sold all my equipment, I sold my cows, and I went to Johnson Bible College. I had only visited Johnson one time, but I knew that if I was going to be sold out for Christ, I'd just get rid of this stuff. I had to leave it behind and go to Bible college. And I had friends and even family members say, oh, you don't need to do that, you know. We want you to stay here. We want you to continue working at Champ. And I liked Champ. I had a good job. I liked it. It was only 5 miles from my house. But you know what? I walked away from that, and I walked away from my family, and I never looked back. Is that discipleship? To start. To leave everything you know, everything you own, everything that you have to follow Christ and to do what His will is for your life. Was it easy for me? Absolutely not. Are there days that I think back? I'll be honest with you. Every once in a while. Do I miss farming sometimes? Yep. It wouldn't be in a red tractor either, Tim. It'd be in a green one. Sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I wonder what it would be like to live the secular life and not have to worry about preparing a sermon, preparing a Sunday school lesson, etc., etc. And you know one thing about working a secular job? When you clock out, you're done. In ministry, guess when you're done? You're always on the clock. And you know, that's fine with me. That's part of being a minister. It's also part of being a disciple. To be willing to give up everything you have, everything you own, everything that you are, to follow Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's a tough call. Now, I'm not telling you this morning to give up your job. I'm not telling you to sell everything you have and to go off to Bible college and follow Christ's leading for your life. I'm not telling you to do that. But what I am telling you to do this morning is be willing to give up everything and maybe everyone in order to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Would you agree with me this morning that we're living in some tough times? Would you agree with me this morning that being a true disciple of Christ is tougher now than it's ever been in your life? I think it's harder. But it's then that we tighten up our belts, maybe pick up our pant legs, and get in the game and stay in the game. Amen. A second requirement that you need to know if you want to be a true disciple of Christ is this. You must take up your cross daily and follow Christ. Jesus said in Luke 14:27, "And whoever does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Now, does that mean that you're going to die for Christ? Not necessarily. Could it mean that you might die for Christ? Yeah. There are Christians over in Syria, as I speak, dying for the cause of Christ right now. Hey, let's give it up for them, amen? They're willing to do that. But that is not what this verse means. It means to choose death to the self-life. In other words, put to death the old way of life. The way you used to live, the way you used to talk, the way you used to act, the places that you used to go, put them all to rest and follow Christ. Be sold out for Him. Be willing to die for Him if you have to. The Apostle Paul explains in Colossians 2:20, when you die to Christ, you die to the basic principles of this world. Now I want you to know, that's tough. It's tough. You go down the road, someone cuts you off, what do you want to do? Boom! Right? Be honest. You go to the restaurant, person that comes in after you, 10 minutes after you, gets their food first, what do? Oh, I got to talk to that waitress. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. She is not going to get a tip. Remember that when you leave here today. Now the phrase, follow me, underline your Bibles, can be translated like this: attach yourself to Christ. That's what it means. Come and follow me means attaching yourself to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning a very difficult question. What or whom are you attached to? What or whom are you attached to? Who or what is keeping you from becoming or being a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Here's my advice for you. Get rid of them. Maybe it's a bad friend. Maybe it's someone that is leading you down the wrong road. Get rid of them. Get some new friends. Maybe it's a material possession in your life. You know, I've had this all my life. I'm not going to get rid of it. If God says get rid of it, get rid of it. Whatever it is that is keeping you from being attached to Christ, get rid of it. In Matthew chapter 19, you can turn there if you want. In verse 16, Jesus encounters a rich man who wanted to know what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus told him, or asked him, "Have you kept the commandments?" He said, "I kept them all." "I have." And Jesus replied, "Good, now go and sell all your possessions, give that money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and then come follow me. Can you tell me what happened? He walked away. As a matter of fact, if you look in those verses, it says he walked away sad. Well, if he's so sad, why didn't he sell his possessions, give it to the poor, and then come follow Jesus, right? Well, he wasn't that sad. I want you to know something. This man, in Matthew chapter 19, made a foolish decision. Amen? Foolish. Matter of fact, it was probably the foolish decision that he'd ever made, because it was all right to have money, and you've heard me say this before, it's not okay to have let money have you. It's okay to be rich, but don't let the riches of this world, the riches of your pocketbook or in your bank account, keep you from becoming the disciple that Jesus has called you to be. The rich man had given up on Christ. And I want you to know, there are a lot of people today in our world that have given up Christ for money, for fame, for fortune, for family. And then when they stand before God, they realize how foolish they really were. Let me encourage you this morning, if there's something or someone that is keeping you from becoming a true disciple of Christ, let it go. Amen? Let it go. Number three, third and finally, we must consider the cost before following Christ. Look at verse 14, or chapter 14 and verse 28. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Friends, if you want to follow Christ, if you want to be a true disciple of Christ, you're going to have to sit down, maybe with a pen and a piece of paper, and you're going to have to write down why you want to follow Christ, why you want to be a disciple of Him. Because I'm here to tell you today, it is not easy. I had someone come to me and say, oh, I find the Christian life pretty easy. Really? How many of you find the Christian life easy? I don't. Matter of fact, I find it one of the most difficult things that I've ever had to become part of. But I've also noticed this. The rewards are out of this world. Becoming a disciple of Christ, when you do the math, when you do on your piece of paper all the advantages of becoming a disciple and putting up with persecution and getting rid of the bad friends and the bad company and maybe even the bad family, and becoming a true disciple of Jesus Christ, I want you to know, when you stand before God someday and God says to you, well done, good and faithful servant, will it not be worth it? It will. I believe what Jesus is saying in these verses is this. Before you leap into following Christ, make sure you understand the cost of being a disciple of Christ. It's not easy. Jesus closes this section, look if you will, by saying this. Anyone who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has an ear, let him hear. You ever eat food without salt on it? It is bland. And people think I'm crazy when I put salt on watermelon. How many of you do not think I'm crazy when I put salt on watermelon? Thank you. It's delicious. And others of you are thinking it's terrible. But salt has its advantages. It's when it's put on something, it gives it flavor, it gives it taste. And I believe Jesus is saying that, but he's also saying something else. What good are we to the kingdom of God if we're not going to be true followers of Him? If we're not going to be that pure salt, what good are we to Him? Garibaldi was an Italian revolutionist back in the 1800s and was known as one of the greatest guerrilla war fighters of his day. In his desire and quest to liberate Italy, he asked some of the local men to follow him in his pursuit. The men asked Baldi, what do you have to offer us? And this is what Garibaldi said. I offer you hardships and hunger, deprivation. I offer you rages, sleepless nights, foot sores, and long marches every single day. And I also offer you victory in the noblest cause more than anyone else will ever offer you. What does Jesus offer us today? If we want to be true disciples, He offers us the cross. And to be honest with you, most folks try to duck that offer. They just want to kind of coast by in life with a few problems, a few commitments in life. They just want to barely sneak by, maybe come into church and get out of there as quick as possible. They just want to slide into heaven, just barely. You know anybody like that? They just barely want to make it. I heard someone say one time, if I make it to heaven and God gives me a broom, I'll sweep heaven's floors. That's all fine. But I want you to know, I'd rather walk into heaven, wouldn't you? I'd rather hear those great words from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have been a true disciple of me. Well done, good and faithful servant. I ask you this morning as we get ready for our invitation, will you join me? As tough as discipleship is in our world today, will you join me in carrying out the task of being a true disciple? I want to close with this. I've been a little upset of the things that's happened in our country this week. The taking down of Christopher Columbus. The riots that continue to happen in Chicago. The dead policeman who never once received mention, while other convicted murderers are put in the limelight. I was upset in baseball when they failed to acknowledge our flag and they knelt instead of it. I was mad. Anyone else? And I couldn't help but think about those men and women who gave the ultimate price for the freedom that we have in this nation. They're laying in a grave someday, somewhere, because they gave the ultimate price, their life, so that we might enjoy the freedom. And these guys making millions of dollars bow a knee because they can't honor our flag and honor our national anthem? That makes me mad. And it makes my job as a Christian and as a disciple of Christ even tougher. But I want to encourage you today, in these days ahead, when you find being a Christian and a true disciple of Christ really, really hard, spend a lot of time in prayer. Spend a lot of time in prayer. And just remember, your reward is not here. Your reward is in heaven. You be a disciple of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, help us. We got this humanness coming out in us when we become angry. We see what is happening in our nation today, where our nation is divided. And we see the minority take control of the majority. And we see the majority not stepping up and being heard and making a stand. Lord, I am impressed with Darren Bailey. I lift him up to you in prayer, and I pray that he'll continue to speak out for the state of Illinois. But more than anything, Lord, I pray that you'll help us as Christians to be true disciples of you, to step up even when it's difficult, and be your hands and feet in a world that is lost. We thank you for the cross of Christ and what he did for us. In his name we pray.
This morning.